Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
I want to give you five powerful things in the book of Ruth that happens when you fast. Now, I know that Ruth is not fasting, or in the book of Ruth, she's not fasting, but I want you to see in this chapter, beginning with verse 1, the story, and there are five things that she does when she is about to be united with her bridegroom, and his name is Boaz, and he is a bachelor from Bethlehem. He lived in Bethlehem. He's a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ, and when you look at this story, it's all about getting close to the one that loves us and that has called us his bride. Paul said, "Oh, that I might know him." Did you know that you can know about him but not know him? You can know Greek and not know God. You can know Hebrew and not know him. And when you begin to fast and pray, you begin to know him. It's not about church. It's not about rules. It's not about religion. It's not about stuff. It's about Jesus. And when you get close to him and you begin to cry, "Lord, that I might know you," then you will begin to experience his power. And Naomi gives five wonderful steps of advice. If you want to draw near to the bridegroom, while you're fasting, she says, do five things. Number one, she says, be freshly cleansed. Everybody say that with me. Be freshly cleansed. Notice that first verse 3, wash yourself. That's what we do when we fast. When we fast, we're spiritually taking a bath. In 2 Corinthians 7 in verse 1, it says, having these promises, let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness unto the Lord. If you want to draw near to the Redeemer, number one, you must be clean. Cleanse yourself. And I'm saying to you that the reason that our prayers are not answered, the reason that God doesn't bring breakthroughs many times in our lives, is because of what Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15 and 16 says. He says, when you stand spreading your hands to pray, I will hide my face from you. When you make your prayers, I will not hear you. Wash you and make your hands clean. Cease to do evil. God says, I will not hear your prayers with dirty hands and double minds and defiled hearts. But if you will wash yourself, how do you do that? Through the washing of the word, through the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ, by completely emptying ourselves of these things. We're saying, I'm taking a spiritual bath on this 21-day fast, and God, I want you to cleanse me. In Isaiah 52 and verse 11, he said, be ye clean, ye that bear the vessels of the Lord. He said, touch not the unclean thing, and be ye clean, ye that touch the vessels of the Lord. In other words, he doesn't want his bride to be smelly and dirty and unkept and unclean. And we are his bride. And when Ruth was wanting to get with her bridegroom, the first advice that Naomi gave her was, listen, clean yourself, wash yourself, be freshly cleansed. It's not yesterday's cleansing. It's not yesterday's bath. It's not last week's cleansing. It's being freshly cleansed in a new year, ready to be intimate and close with Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:25 tells us how we get washed. He says, by the washing of the word, you are cleansed. By the washing of the word. That's a powerful thing when you understand that the word of God is to your spirit what water is to your body. And when you read the Word of God, it washes you. It washes your mind. It washes your soul. It washes your spirit. It washes your hands. It washes your heart. It cleanses you. And when you're fasting, you need to take time for the Word of God and be freshly cleansed. Psalms 119 in verse 9 says, "How shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to God's word." You see, when you're freshly cleansed by the Word of God and then by the blood of Jesus Christ, for the Bible said that if we are faithful and just to confess our sins, He is faithful to cleanse us of all our sins. So there is a cleansing that happens when we are washed in the blood and when we read the Word of God. And what we're doing on this fast, we're not wasting our time, but we're saying to God, I want to be freshly cleansed. Come and look deep in my heart. I've accumulated things. I picked up things that aren't like you. So let me be freshly cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word and by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, when you're freshly cleansed, then you become a candidate for the anointing. And that's why in verse 3, Ruth gives the second thing that happens when you fast and you pray and you draw near to the bridegroom. She said, number one, be freshly cleansed. But look at the next thing. She said, and be anointed. She said to that girl, you need to be anointed. In other words, I want you to be nice to be near. I want you to come with an aroma. And the anointing that the priest would have when he would have the anointing, it was a sign of consecration, being set aside. And so if you would like to be near to Jesus, our bridegroom, you cleanse yourself. And then secondly, you not only cleanse yourself, but you come, and after you've been freshly cleansed, you need to say during this fast, fragrantly, anoint me, Holy Spirit. Anoint me with the power of your anointing. Your anointing is the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, my anointing is the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:27, the anointing that you receive of him abides in you, and you need no man to teach you. For he will show you and he will guide you. The anointing we have is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit gives us the fragrance of Christ. Your life will be an incense before him. And he says, when you fast and you pray, you're freshly cleansed. Iniquity and sin and the dirty hands and the defiled hearts and the double minds are washed away by the washing of the water of the Word and by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then I bring my anointing, because wherever the blood has washed, then the anointing can be applied. They would first wash the priest, and then after he washed, the anointing would be put on him. And you see, wherever the blood has been applied, the anointing is drawn there. And I'm thankful tonight that we're receiving a fresh anointing on this fast. You may not feel it yet. You may not feel it because you're still on the fast. But I promise you, there's going to come a moment when it will kick in. And you, whatever you do, you're going to do it with such grace and such an anointing and such brilliance and such wisdom and such a touch that it will make the difference. And you will be very successful because you're anointed to be. Hallelujah. I believe that. Everybody who receives the anointing tonight, praise God just a moment. It's not just for a preacher, it's for you. So you are being freshly cleansed while you fast. Do you feel that? How many of you sense that? How many of you sense that even little convictions, things that you might would normally run over, but you're real sensitive? The kind of music you hear, the TV shows, whatever. There's something about it right now. You're very, very sensitive. What's happening? You're being freshly cleansed. Not only that, but you're being fragrantly anointed. Hallelujah. There's an anointing coming on your life. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You're going to prophesy and speak the word of the Lord to people. He's going to give you dreams and visions. Hallelujah. When the anointing comes on you, God's grace will find you in unusual places and raise you up. You can't keep someone anointed down. They will always go up because the anointing promotes you and the anointing raises you. Hallelujah. And then thirdly, I really felt this point. So there it is. Wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garment. So you're not only being freshly cleansed and you're not only being fragrantly anointed, you're being fitly clothed. Be fitly clothed. Put on your best clothes, girl. Get something. Get something you look good in. That's Boaz. Boaz is, he owns everything. Look right. What's that about? Well, she had been a widow. I really feel this. Now listen to me. She had been a widow and she had been wearing mourning clothes. She had lost her husband. She was sad. She was depressed. She was discouraged. She was defeated. She had come out of a horrible famine, got back to Bethlehem, but still had her old clothes on of mourning, of sorrow, of discouragement, of defeat. And God, through this woman, said, if you want to get near the king, you need to change what you're wearing. Because he doesn't respond. He understands your pain, but that doesn't necessarily make God come to you. He inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits the faith of his people, not the gloom and the doom. One of the greatest things you could do in your prayer life is pull some of the moans and groans out and shove some hallelujahs in. It makes you very attractive to God when you stop moaning and groaning and you put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Matter of fact, I want you to see Isaiah 61. It says, to console those who mourn in Zion. This is what I felt really heavy to say to people that would be listening to me in this message. That on this fast, God's about to change your wardrobe. And he's going to give them beauty for ashes. I need some joy just to start bubbling up in your soul. Beauty for ashes. How many of you had some things crash and burn in 2015 and all that's left is ashes? Can you raise the other hand and say, hallelujah, he's going to give me beauty for my ashes. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm doing more than preaching. I'm prophesying right now. I really am. I feel like I've got my foot on the neck of a demon right now. A demon of mourning, a demon of sorrow, a demon of gloominess, a demon of discouragement. I just feel my foot on his neck and I just want to stand here and proclaim, it's the year of the Lord to comfort those who have been mourning. I'm telling you, I'm preaching more than a message. I'm prophesying to you. Your house is going to be freshly cleansed. Your business is going to be freshly anointed. And you're going to put on the garments of praise. You're going to be fitly clothed for success. That's why he goes on to say in that same chapter, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will be joyful in my God. While I'm fasting, this is my proclamation. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, as a bride adorns herself with jewels. He has clothed us, church. We can be fitly clothed in his righteousness. You don't have to go around condemned and hating yourself and despising yourself and feeling like you're nothing, nobody, going nowhere. Put on his righteous robe. Put on his garment of salvation. Put on his garment of praise and be fitly clothed. And then He said in verse 3 and verse 4, look at it. Then it shall be when he lies down. Notice this, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in and uncover his feet and lie down. Where? At his feet. You have to understand Jewish tradition and culture meant that if someone did that, if they uncovered their feet and laid down at their feet, it was an act of submission. So the fourth thing that fasting does is it says, Lord, I fully commit my life to you again. I'm being freshly cleansed. I'm being fragrantly anointed. I'm being fitly clothed on this fast. But I'm being fully committed to you now. I'm withholding nothing. My will surrenders to your will. My dream submits to your dream. My desire, I fully commit to you. And I love the fact that Ruth, Naomi said, place yourself at his feet. That's what we're doing. We're humbling ourselves and we're going down low at his feet. Do you know the most sacred place on earth is not the pulpit, the church, Jerusalem, the Holy Land? The most sacred place on earth is at the feet of Jesus. And when you fast, you're fully committing your life and you're bowing down at the feet of Jesus. I don't want anything that's not your will. I don't care how bad I think I want it. I fully commit to you. Not my will, but thine be done. And I'm at your feet, Lord. Not in your face. I'm at your feet. Not at your hand. Give me. I'm at your feet. You will withhold no good thing from them who walk uprightly. And if I am worshiping you and fully committed to you at your feet as a humble servant, my God will supply all of my needs. He'll open up the windows of heaven this year and pour you out a blessing. And brother, if you don't ever believe a preacher again, you need to believe this one. They're coming. That you won't have room enough to receive them. I've never told people this before ever. I don't think ever in my life. There are times when I'm going to preach somewhere that, and sometimes here, that the Holy Spirit will speak to me very strongly. And I'm usually by myself in an office or in some back room somewhere before I'm about to go out. And he'll say, bow before me. And I could stand up here and start listing times. And it's not all the time, it's just certain times. But the point is to be sensitive enough. And I don't know what it is about bowing, but there's something about when nobody's looking and God says, do it. And you get down on your face at his feet. I'm telling you, you're fully committed and God will bless you at his feet. Say amen, somebody. Lastly, in verse 4, verse 5, you getting something out of this? Yes. Said, whatever he tells you to do, she said, all that you say to me, I will do. So we're being now faithfully compliant. That we don't go on a fast and try to demand God and you do this and you do that. No. We're saying on this fast, just show me your will. Whether it's sunshine or rain, whether it's mountaintop or valley, whether it's increase Or it may even cost me right now, but you see what I do in secret in obedience to you, and you're no man's debtor, ever. But I will be faithfully compliant that whatever you, this is what you've got to pray on this fast. You ought to pray these five things. Lord, I want to be freshly cleansed. I want to be fragrantly anointed. I want to be fitly clothed with a new spirit of praise. Oh God, I want to be fully committed at your feet. And I want to be faithfully compliant to your word, to your will. I don't want to hear the word only. I want to be a doer of the word. I want convictions about the word. I want to be faithfully compliant. Ruth chapter 3 verse 9. Notice this. And when Boaz saw her, he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Then he blessed her. Blessed are you of the Lord. What's going to happen when you do these five things for 21 days? You're going to get blessed. How many of you want to be blessed? How many of you want to be blessed in 2016? The Bible said that he gave her 60 pounds of barley and said, "Take this back to your mother-in-law." And when she saw her coming, she said, "Who are you?" In other words, she was asking, "Are you Miss Ruth? Are you Miss Boaz yet?" Because I like this. You got 60 pounds of grain from that boy. But then she gives her the strangest command. I think it's over the last part of the verse. She said to her, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For this man will not rest until he concludes this matter today." All right, now here's what that means. When you submit to God in the five areas that we've talked about that fasting is doing in your life, at some point, God says to you, "You've done your part. Now I'll not rest. I'll not rest until I do my part. You started it, but I'm going to finish it. You got out there and you washed yourself and anointed yourself and changed your clothing and changed your language and you're praising me and I see you now fully compliant and committed. I see it. And you started it, but there comes a time when God says, "Now you sit down. Because you gave it to me on the fast. Now I'm going to fight your battle. Now I'm going to be your Jehovah Jireh. Now I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you won't have room enough to receive. You started it on the fast Sunday, but God's going to finish it and you're going to see his blessings unprecedented in your life." If you believe it, get up on your feet and shout and praise God just a little bit.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter at Jensen or Facebook at Jensen Franklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.